Now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day despite the great disaster that could have a real impact on the U.S. economy. And it turns out that the port of Maryland, of Baltimore, who knew, is the leading port of entry for automobiles that are shipped into this country. I would have thought it would be a West Coast port like Seattle or San Pedro in Los Angeles. It would have been a West Coast port because we get so many automobiles from Japan. But apparently, no, we're getting them from manufacturing companies in Europe. They come through Baltimore, and the port of Baltimore is closed right now because of that bridge collapse after a cargo ship, gigantic cargo ship, ran into it. Six people, construction workers who were on the bridge, are unaccounted for. The governor of Maryland, Wesley Moore, who is something of a rising star in the Democratic Party, he announced the results of a preliminary investigation to try to reassure people who believe this was evidence of some kind of terror attack. This is Governor Moore, clip two.
Quickly gathering details. The preliminary investigation points to an accident. We haven't seen any credible evidence of a terrorist attack. Our administration is working closely with leaders from all levels of government and society to respond to this crisis, and not but just by addressing the immediate aftermath, but also by building a state that is more resilient and a state that's more safe. That is our pledge, and that's our commitment, and we're going to keep that commitment. And lastly, to the victims of this tragedy and their loved ones, all of our hearts are broken. We feel your loss. We're thinking of you, and we will always be thinking of you. We pray for the construction workers who are on the Key Bridge, and we pray for everyone who has been touched by this tragedy and their families and all of their loved ones. But Maryland, we will get through this.
Reassuring words from Governor Moore of Maryland. The President of the United States also spoke with a commitment of federal help in the business of rebuilding this bridge and doing so quickly, if at all possible, because of its disruptive economic impact. President Biden.
It's my intention that federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. And I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt. You know, we're not leaving until this job gets done. Not leaving until then. So I just want to say God bless everybody who everyone harmed this morning and their families. And may God bless the first responders, many of whom risked their lives. And the reason I'm not going to take a lot of questions, there's remaining issues that are open that we got to determine what's going to happen in terms of the rescue mission and the like. But
Do you plan to go to Baltimore, sir? And if so, how quickly?
I do, and as quickly as I can. That's what
we're you said the federal government's also going to pay for the repairs. I'm just curious. This was a ship that appears to be at fault. Is there any reason to believe that the company behind the ship should be held responsible? And then also, you
that
mentioned
could be, but we're not going to wait for that to happen. We're going to pay for it to get the bridge rebuilt and open.
Okay, the President of the United States. Meanwhile, one of the things that happens on something like this is, unless you're just completely blind to the horror of this kind of disruption, which aside from the people who are missing and the construction workers who were thrown from the bridge, apparently there may be a driver also who is unaccounted for. For the people whose lives are going to be disrupted, what this reminds you is how much you need government. And for people who play around with ideas like, okay, let's shut her down, shut down the government. Basically, we are dependent for jobs, for transportation, for so much of our lives on some kind of functioning by governmental entities, local, state, and yes, federal. And I don't think that looking at the scale of this thing that anyone can blame or criticize President Trump for assuring that the federal government will spearhead this initiative. Now, this doesn't mean that everything that government does is great. There, in fact, are occasionally things that are just so stupid and so shocking. And, in fact, things that probably even deserve some recognition, like a Golden Turkey Award.
Bigger than the Academy Awards.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank God.
Groovier than the Grammys.
I would like to thank my wonderful agent.
And more powerful than the People's Choice.
I would like to share this with every single senator.
Now, it's time for another Golden Turkey Award nomination.
Woohoo! Thank you so much!
Okay, I'm going to just share some information with you and then withhold comment until we actually get to the perspective, putting it in perspective. There's a report in the Seattle Times. It says public schools in Washington will be required to teach students about the contributions and history of LGBTQ plus people under a new law signed by Governor Jay Inslee. Senate Bill 5462 mandates that school districts in Washington adopt curricula that include, quote, diverse, equitable, inclusive, age-appropriate instructional materials that reflect the history and perspectives of historically underrepresented groups.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
State learning standards already direct schools to teach students about the historical perspectives of some marginalized groups, such as tribal communities and enslaved people. But they did not explicitly require before now lessons covering LGBTQ histories. The contributions of gay Washingtonians deserve recognition. And just as importantly, students deserve to see themselves in their schoolwork. Senator Marco Lillis, a Democrat from Edmonds, who sponsored the bill, said in a statement, "That leads to better attendance, better academic achievement, and better overall quality of life, ensuring success for all of our students." Washington joins six other states, California, Colorado, Illinois, Nevada, New Jersey, and Oregon, naturally, that have similar requirements for academic curricula to include representation of LGBTQ plus people in public schools. Okay, the point about this is that when you talk about LGBTQ history, where do you begin? I mean, I would understand if you want to begin with the 1970s or 80s, when the LGBTQ identity movement really got going. That's part of American history. Fine. But to try to go back to Seattle was settled initially in 1851. To the very best of my knowledge, the people who set up the first American settlement here in the Puget Sound area, none of them identified as LGBTQ+. So what do? You just read into the idea that there was some secret stuff going on? We'll be right back on this and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
From politics.
And the time has come for gays and lesbians to be recognized.
To pop culture.
I do feel proud that I'm gay.
And from coast to coast, this is The Michael Medved Show.
I'm not sure that that lead-in to introducing the show conveys exactly the right idea. But Washington State has joined six other states. It's become the seventh state in the union. Together with California, Colorado, Illinois, Nevada, New Jersey, and Oregon, that have requirements for academic curricula in public schools to include representation of LGBTQ plus people. And again, this is the bill passed in both chambers of the state legislature without any Republican support. Opponents had argued that the bill infringes on the rights of parents and the powers of local school districts to decide what their kids will learn in the classroom. And yes, it does seem that it infringes. And to say that no local school district will have any ability to determine or to shape how people learn about, you'll pardon the expression, gay history. By the way, this is not kind of bill has not been passed in Florida. They have a different approach there, though they've worked out they had a dispute about the what was called the Don't Say Gay bill. And by the way, it's not one or the other. It's just the idea of a state issuing a policy on something like this, which is so much better handled by the administrators and the people who actually run local schools. They say in the Seattle Times, LGBTQ plus middle and high school students who learned about LGBTQ plus history or people in class reported lower rates of suicide attempts in the last year, according to a 2023 study from the Trevor Project, a suicide prevention organization for LGBTQ plus youth. A positive school environment has a large impact on the health and well-being of students, even more so than work and home environments. Now, as a former teacher, and with everybody in my family, our two daughters are teachers. My wife is a credentialed teacher and it's taught for many years. Okay, teaching my mother, my father taught at the university level. Anyway, so what do you teach about? Now, I was thinking particularly for the state of Washington, we have King County is where Seattle is located. It's one of the most populous counties in the country. And even though there is an image now in the official insignia for King County of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., one of the greatest Americans, this county was not named after him. He hadn't even been born when King County was named in, I think, formally in 1859. And how did the name King County come about? Well, the King County was named after William Rufus Devane King, who was elected to be vice president, but never got to serve because he was too sick. But he was elected together with Franklin Pierce in 1852. In any event, he was a senator from Alabama, and he liked to appear, and this is documented, this is not made up, and you could teach kids this, I guess, but he was known to appear at formal gatherings wearing dresses. He was considered extremely weird. There were rumors at the time that he was actually consorting with other men, and another man in particular who was the 15th president of the United States, that would be James Buchanan. They roomed together. They have found love letters between the two of them. certainly for Senator King, who became Vice President King, who King County is named after, he almost surely would count as a chapter in LGBTQ history. But why won't they do it? Because the guy was loathsome. He was a slave owner. He owned 300 slaves. He was a huge defender of the slave system. We don't tend to try to honor people who were deeply involved with the greatest American evil. And so how do you deal with that? Because how do you talk about Senator King from Alabama, Vice President King from Alabama, who King County is named after? What you do is you try to get rid of him as much as you can, which is why they changed officially in the late 1990s the name of King County, so it's now not named after William Rufus Devane King. It's now named after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Okay. And then there are other things. Like last night, I just had a compulsion to listen to a piece of music by Tchaikovsky and Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky. And I was listening to the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, and it's a magnificent work. And Tchaikovsky has enriched the life of everybody. And Tchaikovsky you could actually teach about because he was without question gay and tormented about it. It really was the most painful thing in his life to try to cover up that fact. Tchaikovsky got married to one of his music students, and their wedding night was a disaster because he wasn't interested in girls. And shortly after, 3 days after their wedding, he tried to kill himself. He threw himself into the frozen Moskva River and almost died. So again, okay, if you're going to teach, okay, this guy Tchaikovsky, great figure in gay history, one of the great composers who ever lived. Do you also teach the suffering associated with it? I mean, this is, again, for people to take an elective in college about the changing history of the way that we've treated homosexuality or that it's been part of our world. What they say here is that in other states with inclusive curricula on LGBTQ plus history, schools teach about the landmark Supreme Court cases like Obergefell versus Hodges, which guaranteed a right to same-sex marriage in 2015. Plenty of stuff to write about or teach about over the last 20, maybe even 50 years. But before then, you have all kinds of complications. Complications, too, for Ronna Romney McDaniel. Why? Well, she may have been bounced out of NBC. We'll tell you about it coming up.
Michael Medved.
And on the Michael Medved show, there is a report that NBC is reportedly dropping the former chair of the Republican National Committee, Ronna McDaniel. And this is right after she was hired. Now, here is a collage of some of the attacks that were leveled against her in the media since her hiring as a paid contributor to NBC. Clip 12, listen.
The fact that Ms. McDaniel is on the payroll at NBC News, to me, that is inexplicable.
I have some thoughts about Ronna McDaniel and the normalization of the dangerous damned lies from the Republican Party.
She is a co-conspirator and an enabler.
An anti-democracy election denier.
She lied to the American people to further the autocratic movement that is Trumpism.
She dropped the Romney from her name, apparently, because Donald Trump hates Mitt Romney.
How does that feel, to change your name to curry favor with a madman?
We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it.
And I hope they will reverse their decision.
We hope NBC will reconsider its decision.
And this is not about not having Republicans on.
Right.
My good friend Michael Steele is the former also RNC chair.
If you are going to be on American media, you should be somebody who believes that there is something called truth, that there are things called facts.
You wouldn't hire a wise guy. You wouldn't hire a made man like a mobster to work at a DA's office.
It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe.
Ronna McDaniel would not appear on our air.
Ronna McDaniel will not be on our air.
Our sacred airwaves.
Ronna McDaniel will not be on MSNBC.
What they saw in the hiring of Ronna McDaniel is a decision to bring on board someone who's a liar.
Okay, the focus, obviously, of the objections to Ronna McDaniel are not on her political ideology. It's basically her defense of the big lie, which I believe that she has now basically said, well, I just had to do that because I was representing Donald Trump. But the notion that somebody would seriously go public to try to defend the idea that the election was fraudulent in 2020, that's kind of tough. And by the way, one of the voices there from NBC had pointed out Michael Steele, who is a former lieutenant governor of Maryland and is a former Republican national chair. He's a Republican national chair who has been outspokenly and consistently anti-Trump. So, again, what they're lacking on NBC is any representation of the MAGA point of view, pretty much, period. But the conservatives they do have on are people who are among that that band of, I hate to use the term never Trumpers, but people like of that perspective. Speaking of President Trump and his new announcement of the Lee Greenwood God Bless the USA Bible, which we played before President Trump's videotape, posted posted everywhere. And Liz Cheney actually gets credit, I think, for our tweet of the day.
Turn the page now to the internet.
I mean, wow, what a great, smart tweet.
Change his password so he no longer has access to his Twitter feed.
Did you send the tweet?
I did not send that tweet. My system was hacked. I was pranked.
Donald Trump hasn't tweeted at us once, and I'm starting to get worried about him.
So we have a new tweet.
All right.
Can I do the honors?
Stand by. Tweet alert.
Okay, to appreciate the new tweet by Liz Cheney, the new X contribution that she made, you have to go back to Trump's daily posts today from Truth Social. He posted, "Happy Holy Week. Let's make America pray again. As we lead into Good Friday and Easter, I encourage you to get a copy of the God Bless the USA Bible." And only $59.99, $60 for the new God Bless the USA Bible. And what Liz Cheney writes back to Donald J. Trump, she writes back, "Happy Holy Week, Donald. Instead of selling Bibles, you should probably buy one and read it, including Exodus 20:14. Now, for those of you who don't have a Bible on hand and don't immediately begin turning to Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, verse 14 comes in the middle of one of the most significant parts of the Old Testament, of the Hebrew Scriptures. 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The 10th commandment there of the Big Ten, the one about not coveting, the only one that's supposed to go directly to your emotions rather than to your actions. That being the very essence of conservatism. The late P.J. O'Rourke did a terrific, what amounted to a sermon about that, about why that was such a crucial message to conservatives. Because the idea that you don't covet what somebody else has is a recognition that there is infinite fecundity and power in the creator of the universe to create more. The fact that somebody else has something good doesn't mean that you want to take it. It means maybe I can create something good myself. There is also this NBC News report about Trump's ability to delay his criminal trial regarding January 6th. Listen, this is clip 15.
President Trump has so far successfully delayed his January 6th criminal trial, with his lawyers arguing he has presidential immunity. But hundreds of Trump supporters who were there at the Capitol on that day haven't been so lucky, or they haven't had that option, facing anywhere from a few days to up to 22 years in prison for their actions.
Yeah, I mean, these cases continue to churn through. So recently, there was a conservative influencer who was arrested. She's seen on video passing an object through a window that was later used to assault police officers that day. But what I did was I sort of tracked a couple of these cases that actually started around the same time as Donald Trump. Donald Trump was arrested in August of 2023. He was supposed to be on trial right now under the original outline laid out by Judge Chutkan. We're supposed to be in the middle of a Trump trial currently in D.C. right now. But obviously, that's been delayed because of all of these various delay tactics that the Trump campaign has engaged in, including having the option of arguing for broad presidential immunity. That's not something that, say, the guy who flooded the Capitol wearing a sedition or wearing a panda costume could proclaim.
And by the way, he's not facing trial because of the panda costume. I don't think that there's an important violation there. What about the upcoming immunity case? John Yoo, who's been a frequent guest on this show, speculates on how it's going to work when the Supreme Court decides on whether President Trump is right by the Constitution by suggesting that presidents have immunity for whatever they have done in the White House. We will get to that and more coming up on The Medved Show.
Your daily dose of debate.
Give me more.
The Michael Medved Show.
Okay, we can't follow the Trump example and sell our own special editions of the Bible, but we do have a remarkable sale. And I actually saw this and I said, wait, that's too much. There's 85% off for you to buy the complete Medved History Store Library. This is for MP3 players and USBs. And you can learn the rich history of the American Revolution. It's more than 20 hours, which takes you almost day by day, certainly week by week, through the history of our struggle for independence. There's more about America's most controversial wars. We have a history program on three big lies about Vietnam. and one about World War One that people really do need to find out about, because it's World War One, the Great War, or America's greatest mistake. And which is a real argument. We have the politics and pillars of the presidency. Our greatest presidents, our least successful presidents, the greatest landslides in American history. It's all there. And you can get it for 85% off. Again, in audio version for MP3 players and USBs. And just go to MedvedHistoryStore.com and shop now. And I believe we still have the one half off for a MedHead subscription, which comes for your basic MedHead subscription, access to the podcast version of this show, no commercials. Basically, anytime you want it, 24/7. And the cost for the MedHead basic subscription is comes to $250 a month. I mean, it's really, that's, as you can figure out, it's less than 10 cents a day. So check it out. Go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. Okay. In the Michael Medved show, we talked about the immunity case that is coming up to the Supreme Court. John Yoo, a distinguished conservative legal scholar, was on with Trey Gowdy, who was one of my favorite members of Congress when he was in Congress, is now doing a great job for Fox News. They spoke about how that case is likely to turn out. This is clip five.
I actually think it might be 9-0, but it might be 9-0 against President Trump. And the reason I say that is all the precedents, all the past decisions seem to run against Trump. I don't think the court's likely to say presidents have immunity from federal criminal prosecution, but people should keep in mind, immunity just means Trump doesn't even have to show up and appear. He still has a lot of arguments he can make against the charges themselves about whether this is really fraud. I don't think it is. Whether this is really interfering with a congressional process, I'm not sure it is. Whether Trump took away everyone's voting rights in the whole country, that I definitely don't think this is. He'll still be able to make those important constitutional legal arguments, even if when he loses immunity.
Okay, but the loss of immunity, that was John Yoo. I think he's right, and I think that's the direction that they're going. Today, with all the hullabaloo about Robert F. Kennedy choosing Nicole Shanahan as his running mate, and she gave what seems, from the parts I've heard so far, she gave a pretty good speech, opening speech, good premiere for her. This is former Democratic National Chair Donna Brazile on ABC. Warning Democrats about the impact of third-party candidates. Listen, this is clip 10.
Well, look, there are technical issues involved in getting on the ballot. We all know that. So if you don't make the deadline, don't have the appropriate number of signatures, of course you have citizens in those states that will...
This is the DNC. This isn't citizens in those states.
And let me just speak up for the DNC if this is their effort. Yeah. 2016, we slept through those third-party candidates. And look at the results, whether it's the 537 in Florida that Ralph Nader competed in, or Jill Stein in 2016 in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. So, yes, focus on these third-party candidates because they could draw from Mr. Biden.
Okay, that is something we'll talk about tomorrow. They apparently are assembling a whole sort of shock troops to go after Robert Kennedy Jr., assuming that he's going to take votes directly away from Biden. And Bloomberg is reporting President Joe Biden has gained ground against Republican Donald Trump in 6 of 7 key swing states, and significantly so in at least 2 of them. The results make for the Democrats' strongest position yet in a monthly Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll. The move in the president's direction comes after 5 months of mostly consistent Trump leads and follows a State of the Union address that rallied Democrats and seemed to mitigate concerns about Biden's age. The shift was most significant in Wisconsin, where Biden now leads Trump by 1 point after trailing him by 4 points in February, and in Pennsylvania, where the candidates are tied after Trump had a 6-point lead last month. They're also tied in Michigan. It's too soon to know whether the improved showing is a one-time bump or the beginning of a more durable change in the race. And Biden continues to lag the presumptive GOP nominee in 4 of the crucial states. But in November, victories in so-called blue wall northern battlegrounds would all but vault Biden to a second term. The battlegrounds they're talking about are Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Those states could flip either way. And there's also North Carolina, which President Trump has carried twice, but appears to be very, very close and very competitive, according to the new polling. Speaking of new, there is now streaming available to see a really interesting film that features Woody Harrelson in a terrific and very pro-religious role. It's called Suncoast. Listen.
Time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Some 20 years ago, a Florida teenager at a Christian high school wants to achieve a normal life despite the fact that her brother is severely handicapped and consigned near death to a hospice that's called Suncoast. Now streaming on Hulu.
My brother's dying. He hasn't talked in years.
I'm so sorry.
He's my child. When he's in pain, I'm in pain.
I'm your child too.
That's a gifted 19-year-old British actress named Nico Parker, who plays the central role, with Laura Linney as her stressed-out impossible mother, and Woody Harrelson outstanding as a deeply religious stranger who tries to help a painful situation. The movie, based on personal experience, is written and directed by an enormously promising newcomer named Laura Chin, with frequent references to the celebrated Terri Schiavo case that raised painful issues of a right to die versus a right to life. It's rated an appropriate R. 3 stars for the often stunning and surprising Suncoast. And yes, it's always great to see a new talent who first time out of the box creates a movie that's actually worth seeing. Tomorrow, there is a new policy.